Okay, well, there we are. It is the 3rd of April. Welcome to our study group. We're studying the Acts of the Three Nephites in the Sealed Book of Mormon, chapter 13, verse 16. Yes, I will read one verse. And then we will see what happens. So first, maybe a little recap again. We're studying words of Jesus Christ. Here he's talking about how we can, get the example of Alma in the Book of Mosiah as proxy thing of these days, and how can we truly speak with the Father? The previous verse, very powerful. So all wisdom of the heavens is hidden in the pure and lofty sentiments, sensitizing feelings. The possibility of sensitizing the feelings is very interesting, of tuning to the frequency of the Almighty and the Holy Ghost through sincerity and truthfulness of urgency. Wow. So that's for me this week, maybe one thought with the ongoing war here in Europe, the urgency. And we feel so blessed, Bauke and me, that we have this knowledge, that we know a little bit how to know what to do through these books. And especially this book, the sealed book. So, verse 16, however, the Father will do nothing for his children on earth, for how much as there is a possibility of them doing something for themselves. Remember, therefore, these words of mine, which again come to you through this record, to observe carefully the birds of the heaven, for they do not reap nor store in barns, but the Father who is in heaven feeds them day after day. I think this is great. For how much as there is a possibility of them doing something for themselves. Isn't that amazing? He will do nothing if we can do it ourselves. And I remember in the Doctrine and Covenants, it says, it is not good. So the translation is not great, but it's not good that you should be commanded in all things. So we do have the scripture, and he still wants us to do. If we can do it ourselves, he wants us to figure it out for ourselves. So what do you think? Do you have any comments, please?
I love that he wants us to do it ourselves, and how he wants us to rely on the scriptures, because so much of the time when we pray and ask for revelation or insight, when we turn to the scriptures, he will answer our prayers there because somebody else has already prayed and asked that same thing. So in asking in sincerity, he's not going to give us anything new that hasn't already been provided. I remember John had said one time, somebody's asking for this, but it's not going to be given. That's already established, and that needs to be studied here because the answer has already been provided. Or there was another time where there was a hierarchy set up, and John said, Well, that's because God wants it to go through the normal chain of command. And this person is asking for this when there's, it's already been set up how to follow that. So I just find that interesting that he talks about the birds of heaven do not reap nor store in barns, that to the children of Israel relied on him. And they were told to go and gather the manna daily. And on Saturday, gather twice the amount. And sometimes they tried to be stingy. And then, of course, that manna would rot. And so when we think of relying on the Lord, we are so spoiled with what we have in our daily life that we do not think about relying on him, but turning to him, becoming as a little child and asking every detail to understand and hear how he works with us, using what he has set forth on the earth, meaning the scriptures, to go to and seek answers that we're praying for, as well as Mauricio and the presidency and the things that he's revealed to us. So I feel so blessed to have these at our disposal if we will use them as he has them set up. It's exciting.
Yeah, great comment. Thank you.
Yep.
Steve, go ahead.
No, I thought that was perfect. That's exactly the way I see that. You know, don't ask him to plant the crop. You do it. Pray for good results. He's in charge of that.
Exactly. Like with the what it says in Doctrine and Covenants, also with the stir. You ask him, and then he will. You do the work, and then pray for the water, like you say. That's it. And I was also thinking this week about barn, because I come from the farm, and the latest album of Neil Young is called Barn. So when he did, that was the last time I listened to Spotify. It was interesting, but barn, it's also walls, and I was thinking about this. Also in with the Mantina archives that they didn't store for the army, so that there wouldn't be no problems with the distribution and difference between the people, and so if we trust totally like a child on God, I was thinking about this song that his word is a light on our path. So, but it's not, you don't want that. You like to, when you go somewhere, you like to go where you go. So, I was also thinking about all the times I got in a van with my band members to a gig somewhere. You have to have faith, you know, to come to action, really move with the right cause. So, and this is probably something to keep us humble, that we, like what you said, Darla, that we have to go to get the manna daily, you know, that we wouldn't become, arrogant or something. So maybe we, go ahead.
I think that's very good. Also, he teaches in parables. And so a parable doesn't give you the answer. You have to think about it, pray about it. You have to ponder it. And that's another example of not doing the work for us. We have to figure some things out for ourselves with the Spirit helping us.
Thank you. Would you read the next verse, James 17?
On the other hand, if you look closely at the birds of the heaven, as you are required in this parable, you will see that though they do not reap nor store in barns their grains, they have to leave of their nests every day looking for food in order to get them by their own efforts. And this, therefore, is manifested the divine wisdom of which I have spoken, in which birds, as well as the children of men, obtains the promise that the Father will nourish them. For he will never let anything be lacking for his sons, for how much they believe in themselves.
Thank you. Any thoughts, James?
Well, he's comparing us again to the wild birds, that they, even though their needs are supplied by heaven, they need to go out and do the work for themselves. Otherwise, they'll perish. There's no guarantees.
Exactly. There's no guarantees. And the capital divine wisdom of it, I think it's amazing here. And I have a question. Does anybody have a thought on that? The last thing, he will never let anything be lacking for his sons, but for how much they believe in themselves. I thought that's maybe my English that I don't understand totally. So do they believe in that you shouldn't believe in yourself, that you need our Lord, or that you would be confident because you're not lacking anything? What do you think?
So I think these two verses go together, and I have heard this parable many times and always thought it's talking about, you know, day to day, get up, go do your work, take care of things, put your effort into it. But right here, it hit me more that this is spiritual requirements. In 16, it says, remember these words of mine, which again come to you. And that Father takes care of them. So if we look at it being just scriptures, and that every day we must immerse ourselves into scriptures, every day we leave our nest, so to speak, and study and the different books and learning and doing what this book is telling us. I mean, it's been given to us at this end time. So I think when I read that, I didn't even catch that part where it says believe in themselves. I was just thinking believing in God, but we also have to learn to rely on, I think that's a saying, we rely on what we can do. Don't be faint-hearted. Do the work, and we can do the work. We can't be wimpy about it. So believe in ourselves. And I think that pulls us into the next verse where it's talking about faith. Faith in who? We have to start with some faith in ourselves that we can get up and aching bones and make that step, and then take it to the faith in God. If we can't rely on our strength of ourselves that we've studied and we've done what the Lord has asked us to do, then I think that that's part of it, of relying on ourselves.
Thank you.
Let's make a comment. So I have to agree with Jeannie. At my baptism, I sang a song, and one of the lines says, "He makes righteous those who seek." And so if we are diligently seeking, then the Lord is going to obviously have the Spirit work within us more profoundly. And so just what Jeannie said, it's a matter of us doing the work. And then because of that, we have that relationship with God and Christ. And then we can have confidence so that we can believe in ourselves. But again, it's a balance, because it can't be prideful, and we can't misuse, that, because I've seen that a lot in the past in leadership, where sometimes people maybe abuse that quote unquote, authority or whatever. But when I'm thinking about this for me personally, that's what it means to me. It's just like what you all been saying. It's like, it's the whole principle of the law of the harvest, the law of farming. And so thank you.
I think it's fun when we think of the Native Americans. My husband and I go and hike to a lot of the ruins, and tobacco does not grow in high places, but yet you will find tobacco growing up on their mesas. Why is that? Because that was one of their sacramental plants, and they brought the seeds up there. And that how did they know that tobacco was a sacramental plant? How did they learn these things? They relied on the Lord, and they were taught that when you see these barren places that these Native Americans were living in, they lived off of the earth. The Lord taught them. The plants taught them. They had a symbiotic relationship with all of nature, that they had a reverence, and it worked beautifully and naturally when in sync with God's laws and what God is commanding them to do. They didn't go without. You can tell that they had to move region to region based on water and availability, but they were taken care of, is my point. They were flourishing in honoring God's laws and having that relationship with all of nature until white man got involved, but they did very well without us. So that's a beautiful thing.
I was just gonna mention that I work with the Native Americans every day, and the converse of what you just said, because their freedom was taken away, they're put into bondage, so to speak. Their freedoms were lost. They lost their tradition, many of their traditions. And now who takes care of them? For a large percentage, it's our government. And as a consequence, many of them have lost their desire to go out every day and work. And so that's just the exact opposite of what it used to be. And when we lose our freedom and independence, then it affects us spiritually, it affects us economically, it affects us socially, it affects us in every way.
Yeah, and that's interesting. Then because it is taken from each other, the spiritual and the material of the soul, you get used to the idea of slavery, and you're not free anymore. You're not cannot grow in confidence and feel the spirit if you're not connecting both sanctifying both, probably. And that, I think, is restored in the history of the Book of Mormon and Teen Archives and this one, and but also in the traditions, of course, which stayed in the different tribes till the day of today, with the sacred round calendar and stuff like that. Thank you. So,
Harm, I just had another comment. So we see the history. We see the history right there with the Israelites. So we see it with the Native Americans and the slaves at the end of the Civil War when they were freed. And now we have the refugees coming from Ukraine. And they're not like just 10 of them. There's so many. It's a whole country moving across the border, and they've lost their culture, and they've lost so much. And I think that the Lord is also teaching us here that when everything goes down and people have to move, that we, because we are studying these things, we need to be prepared to help these people, as we've seen in the past, or they're going to be stuck in bondage and won't know how spiritually to get out. And I think maybe that's a purpose that we're going to face. I hope I'm prepared for it. And we need to pray to the Lord that we are learning and retaining and studying so that we can help. Because at that point, these little refugees, they can't just run out and reap their garden because they don't have the garden anymore. So I think that's really something we need to think about. And that's my comment.
Thank you. I think that's also why it says every day, you know, we have to leave up the nest with our own efforts. So, because if we don't, and I think this is underestimated by Satan and maybe even Putin, that it's all in the face now, you know, that you can use violence and top-down structures, but the people feel each other through the voice, through the images. So we it is touching our soul in the broadest sense, I think, when horror and all these things come over you and still recognize the Lord in the whole thing around the globe, that he's preparing the whole world, you know, and empathy, because you can't run away from it. It's different, like, must be different, like in Vietnam those days with the hippie music and it's now 40 years later, you know, and people say this Zelensky, he's an actor, but Reagan was an actor. And it's we just have to act right, you know. It doesn't matter what you did before, you know. You have to act right, and we need the gospel to point us the way, and especially this this book. So and the dependence on God in everything that we read. This is the time of the Holy Spirit, so we really must be diligent in getting to know his will every day, and the food, and then in the spiritual food, and but also the providing of the food for the people around us. Let's go to the next. If anybody has any comments, please. Otherwise, we go to the next. Darla, would you read 18?
Can't hear you, Darla.
Me neither.
Well, hello? Because I clicked mute, but it didn't click. So here okay. We go again. Sorry.
Thank you.
This, then, is the act of faith, and it serves all matters under heaven, because faith precedes action. Being dead in itself, it does not produce some attitude. This is the foundation of wisdom and the lofty sentiments that move people of the covenant to excellent works, because it has this promise of my own voice, that the Father will be with his people to protect and assist them when there is nothing else you can do for yourself. Amen. Whoopie doggy, that's a good one.
Amen.
I love that he calls them the lofty sentiments.
Do you have other words for lofty in English?
He's talking to us about acting of faith, and that faith precedes the action. One of the things that I think of often is there are two creation that take place in Genesis, first spiritually and then physically. So things are always created spiritually first. There's two births, a spiritual birth and a physical birth, that you think things first, and that's the spiritual birth, and then you speak them. The word of God creates. We're all creators. We're co-creators with God. So when we're speaking that into being, that's our action that creates things physically. And he's saying that faith precedes the action. So that's the spiritual, that you're thinking, you're believing in those things. And then that foundation of wisdom that moves people of the covenant to excellent work. So lofty sentiments where you're thinking of all these big ideas, they can actually come about and people of the covenant to excellent works because of the promise that the Father has made to us to protect and assist our lofty sentiments, our big ideas in his efforts and his desires, our righteous desires to honor and obey him with wisdom. Wisdom being that feminine heavenly mother presence that we have to use with the physical realm, that there's nothing that we can do for ourselves, that we do it all in conjunction with the laws that have been predicated before the world was. It's fantastic.
It's great. It's the excellent works. And I love the one thing you the promise the Father will be to assist and protect, and I love that of the promise of my own voice, you know, and the whole creative aspect of it, that you have to express it, be in touch with it, you know. And I love the what you say, faith precedes action. I was one of my favorite quotes was I don't know which of the where it comes from, but it's faith precedes the miracle. I was always interested in the miracle. But if you really want to understand faith, then you have to understand faith precedes action. Because that's the whole thing. He wants you to do the good stuff. And then you first have to have faith. And it faith only comes to those who love me will keep my commandments. So then you get stronger. And maybe the thing before that you can see so far ahead, you know, but you can grow in faith. And then you get to come to the excellent works. And how great is that, that you we know may know for ourselves, you know, that's the whole, I begin to understand also with all the new information coming in, that he wants us to know, you know, that you understand for yourself, not because it's because he loves us, you know, that you it's not only a commandment, but you should want to do the best thing you can do. So we can be happy together with the Father and Jesus and all the people who aspire these things. Go ahead.
Brother Harm, I think it may be we ought to look at the similitude between 15 and 18, where it's talked about sensitizing the feelings. In 15, when we started today, it was talking about that I say unto you that it is in the pure and lofty sentiments proceeding from the gifts of God that all wisdom from the heavens is hidden. And then in 18, this then is an act of faith and serves all matters under heaven because faith precedes the actions, being dead of itself, does not produce some attitude. This is the foundation of the wisdom and the lofty sentiments that move the people who come as excellent works. To me, the only thing it plugs into both places is love or lofty, higher, heavenly. Now that's just, I feel like those are two are connected and maybe more than I understand.
Excellent point. And if when you look down to 19, Steve, it starts talking about that same thing again. At the end, it says the pure feelings that are lodged in our hearts. I love that. The pure feelings that are lodged in our hearts. In 19.
Would you read that, Suzanne?
Sure. Just as it was said to my disciples, I tell this generation about which I prophesy at the moment that the mysteries of God are given in these words of mine. For this, the words of this book reveal that the essence of the gifts from my Father are the pure feelings that lodge in your hearts. And then it looks like it has a reference to Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew.
But again, it's this. Go ahead.
Shall I read that one?
Sure. Yeah, I think that'd be great. Matthew 13.
That's in the Joseph Smith New Translation.
Mm-hmm.
13 verse 8. So there we go. Then the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever receiveth, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever continueth not to receive, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah concerning them, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And blessed are you, because these things are come unto you, that you might understand them. And verily I say unto you, many righteous prophets have desired to see these days which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear that which you hear, and have not heard. So that's inspired version of Joseph Smith. That's great, isn't it? Same what you said earlier, James, is here. And the repetition, isn't that interesting? Because these three chapters of Jesus are so revealing of the foundations. Okay, so I thank you, Steve, for making that connection of what he wants us, how he wants us to be with, you know, how to work on these feelings and sentiments, and that you're there, some attitude, it says in 18, which attitude we want to produce. Yeah. This is the essence of the gifts from my Father, the pure feelings.
And it's always, it always goes back to the heart. I mean, I taught preschool in Florida for several years, and we had these little songs that we always started the day off with. And one of them, the little song was like, it starts in the heart, you know. It was like a little song about love and friendship. And I wish I could find that CD, because it's like so simple, but back to that, you know, just, it starts in the heart, and it starts in the heart and it ends in the heart. I mean, we are going to be judged upon our heart and how we love people and how we don't judge people and how we accept people where they're at and how we try to lead with love and by love. I mean, that's what our Savior did, you know, in every way. He was just simply about love and a calm, patient, you know, demeanor. And just when I think I kind of got a little handle on it, then something comes up, and then I just I just see that, wow, I just like lost it right there. But thank goodness we have the sacrament weekly and that we have a new beginning every day, you know. But reading that in Matthew obviously just restates the same things that we've been talking about, the purpose of parables, the law of the harvest, like all these things that are, that we've been taught this since we were, you know, really young, but obviously we need to keep hearing it again and again. So thank you for your examples.
Isn't that the difference that we're trying to achieve between the humankind part of us and the spiritual closeness to our relationship to God that we're trying? So Suzanne, everybody, you said that so good. I like the word lodge in your heart. To me, that means stuck right in there. So, but Suzanne, it's so hard because we flip-flop and it's so easy, but maybe we need to work on entrenching ourselves. We can't share anything that we don't have a true love for, or we don't have a lot of empathy for those who aren't on the same page that we are. It's impossible to share with our heart what we're trying to get across to them.
That's interesting what you say, Jeannie. I'm thinking about, you know, I'm a musician and people sometimes come to me from, hey, you love music. I want to let you hear this. And then I totally don't like it because sometimes you have, you know, you if you're busy with something, you get an acquired taste sometimes, you know, in if you zoom in on stuff. Like, I don't have that so much with food or sports, but other things. And I think what you said, Suzanne, with the heart, I think that's interesting. People talk about with music, it has soul, you know? Oh, it's so, I can feel the soul and it's so beautifully sung, you know? And you can feel the spirit if it's beautiful sung. But if it's your child who's making the effort to sing, and it, you know, I think we have to get this perspective of empathy for the whole thing, the whole shebang, how they say it, you know, and the heart. And you can feel it if somebody is faking it, you know, in music. For me, I can, or somebody's not believing it themselves, you know, they do it, but it's not there. And you can't blame it, people, you know, if they don't like it, some stuff, if you're not used to it. And that's where we come in, you know, that we need the spirit to tune in on the person in front of us. Then it feels right, you know. Can I say this? Maybe wait till next time, you know, maybe start with a little something first, you know, not pearls before the swines, or and that's why the example and the love and the feelings are so important. I think that's why it's all about feelings and the rest that comes from the whole picture, you know, with the stars and the abstract thing of it, that we really that can believe with his own voice, you know, that we may feel it with it. That's so personal. Okay, any other comments, thoughts?
Yes, I was thinking of Matthew, what you just read, Horm, and I've heard this before. I don't know if it's in another place in the scriptures, but we have talked a lot about the book is sealed to people who don't open their eyes. And then Matthew is talking so much about what Christ has said to his apostles. And we need to understand that in our hearts, that there's going to be those who have their eyes opened that we talk to, those who aren't anywhere close. They're just the one who was dreaming about something, you know, on the hillside while the Lord was talking. And so those words kind of fell on deaf ears. There's going to be so much differences out there that we're going to see. And when it comes close to people making a choice of having a relationship with God or just giving up because they just don't know how to do it. And then Harm, you did mention the pearls to the swine. We have to ask for the Holy Spirit to help us in all those situations, or we will not be able to help these people at all. So again, we're at the end of the book. We've talked about the lofty sentiments. You know, Steve brought that out and I hadn't even picked up on that. It's our heart. It's what's lodged in our heart that we're going to be able to use the Holy Spirit and go forward from here.
Exactly. And I think if we commune with him to get to the right spot and people, then we won't be downtrodden, you know, because he wants us to be happy. But if to be happy, we have to have sometimes somebody resonating with our insights sometimes, you know. And you also learn to appreciate it more when it's rare. Don't forget that also, you know, that it's hard and you have to do it alone. But I begin to understand now too that he wants you. You have to want it for yourself to know, you know, and not because somebody else knows. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, this next verse is so profound because.
The finished chord, you know, of this chapter. It's amazing.
Uh-huh.
So maybe we read that now. Lisa, would you read that?
Yeah, I can read that. All right, so this is verse 20, right?
Yeah.
Okay, therefore, guard your hearts from the evil feelings which proceed from the devil, which suddenly are played like poisoned darts of all sorts of lasciviousness, wrath and anger, and which penetrate your hearts and inflame even the saints of God with the evil feelings coming from him, the evil being, with the purpose of obstructing the work of the Father in bringing salvation to the sons on earth. So obviously there's the devil, which is the evil being it's talking about, and that he has a plan contrary. He wants to obstruct the work of the Father. And so he shoots these poisonous darts into our hearts that we need to be very careful of. We need to be very guarded of the hatred and the anger that we easily get in our hearts.
So true. I like the inflame. You know, it's like it can be so fast. You know, if you give a little feed to that cynicism or
I love how descriptive it is, and it just totally. I had an incident. It happened with a coworker just on Friday, and I was just blown away how. That happened. My heart just inflamed in this like hatred, you know, just like out of nowhere. I can't remember feeling that way towards anyone in like a very long time. And then I, you know, I left work and I'm in my car and I'm reciting, you know, thing that happened. And then, you know, before I know it, I'm having this conversation and I'm thinking of all these mean things to say and, you know, and like all these, you know, and then, you know, it's just like, I mean, this person isn't even aware, like, of my feelings, but I just saw how I just, you know, and then
I called a girlfriend and I was, you know, and luckily she didn't pick up, you know? So then it made me come back to myself and I thought, wow, like I just stopped and I just started just talking out loud to God and going like, okay, I need to stop this. Like, this is just this unnecessary hatred that is just going to eat me up. You know what I mean? And it, anyway, so it was just,
you get really used to it. I when I studied the whole thing, creative thing with the music people, I started noticing how many people, if you come with, it doesn't matter, I think, which thing you are creative in, but if you have to, with music, it's interesting that you have different instruments and you have to do it at the same time. And there are always people who don't want to go that direction. And then you have the possibility of trying the idea or throwing the idea away before trying. And I was always enthusiastic about all kinds of ideas. So I would love to try and then make the decision. But if you don't have trust, you're going to explain why you shouldn't do something, or and that takes an enormous amount of time. I think this is what the gospel is for, that we could amaze ourselves if we do it with the Lord, you know. And it's so all around us, and I think that was also something I wanted to say to you, Suzanne. You know, with the darts, I think that's the whole, he wants us to, you know, and sometimes we need longer relations or to know the person better and love them more to
exactly
become that you can become that tested like that, you know. That you could be angry. Well,
that's what came to me when I took a few minutes to like calm down and realize that, you know, I was just, you know, and again, I was just alone in my car, but I'm having this conversation in my head and I'm thinking like, I can't believe this person and I can't, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then after I caught myself, it came to me like that person is operating with the experiences that they've had in their life. And
exactly,
they're operating with the knowledge that they have. And, you know, like just what you said, if they understood me more and my circumstance more, and if I understood them more, then we probably wouldn't be an issue. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like I said, this was just like a secondhand thing. Like I didn't even have a conflict directly with a person. It was just something that was told me that person said, and you know what I mean? And so again,
I think it's the whole chain reaction thing, which also happens with war and throwing out words and much to each other.
Yeah. And it's right here where it says, therefore guard your hearts from the evil feelings which proceed from the devil, which suddenly are played like poison darts of all sorts of lasciviousness, wrath and anger, which penetrate our hearts and inflame even the saints of God. I mean, just right there, suddenly, just like out of nowhere, it can just explode. Yep. And you've got these evil darts, these poison darts. And before you know it, it's inflamed. And even the saints, people that know better, people that love one another, you know.
Even when you're having, especially when you're having a really good time and learning a lot, you should expect these darts. I have learned to expect them, because you're making progress, and that's what this other guy hates.
Yeah.
So he will try all kinds of stupid things. How can you get mad about something like that? You know.
Right.
But then you can, because you're. Because you're thinking you're making such great progress, and how could somebody?
Well, and I think that's a really good thing to remember. And I thank you for reminding me that, Harm, because, you know, we can go along and we can see that we're making progress, and then all these things of opposition come. And I guess you got to remember that's the pattern. You know, that's
when you got it expected coming. You know, Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jeannie.
I think that that's why that sentence right above it, lodge these feelings in your heart, lodge them, stick them in there, make them hard, fast to your heart, because we can get so easily and quickly those little poison darts. They're horrible. I had the same, a similar incident, Suzanne, and it was years and years ago before I'd even, you know, known about the book. And she had me in tears of the things that she was saying that was untrue, but that's what she thought. And then I still have to be in contact with her. And I see now, exactly like you said, Suzanne, that we don't know what they were going through or what they were being taught or what we were going through. And if we don't have these feelings stuck in our heart, then the devil right now, at this time of the world, the devil's only goal, he doesn't care about us. His only goal is to take us away from God. Yes. In any way that he can.
And to divide us and to help us to, you know, he doesn't want us to believe in ourselves. Like we read 17, you know, he wants us to have doubt. He wants us to be depressed. He wants us to
be angry,
consider taking our lives. I mean, you know, like, I mean, and so my question is to all of you, what do you think are the key things to guard our hearts? How are we supposed to guard our hearts?
I think,
anyone.
I think the most important guard was, what did they say? A good offense is what's needed. If my heart's full of love, I've got a lot of insulation.
Yeah.
Because we know it's coming. We don't have to plan for it. It's coming. But when he goes back and it talks about these lofty sentiments, if I'm focused on that, and I've got, and I'm not going to be perfect. I've done the same things you do, Suzanne, that two-way conversation coming down the road. Yeah. And I was perfectly fine an hour ago, but I haven't been going around.
Exactly. An hour ago, my heart was full of love and I was thinking about, you know, how I was going to go see my daughter or whatever, you know,
but when I do a relapse autopsy on that, and I look back about why did that happen, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, you just did 3 12-hour days in a row, you haven't been reading in the morning, you've got all of these legal things and rental and all these other worldly pressures, and I haven't been making normal or enough time for me to keep that insulation. If I've got that insulation, it has a tendency, like a duck and water, it has a tendency to roll off. But it doesn't take but a second to find out where I'm at if something like that happens. So I think we can all smile and relate to.
Yeah. You know. Excellent analogy. I love that about the duck. And I did end up talking to my one friend about it after I'd calmed down a little bit. And then her father, she's a convert to the LDS Church, and her father is a Pentecostal minister. And he sent her a meme that said, "My problem is I love Jesus. I want to follow him, but I want to slap people too." So we all just laughed about it. It's like, yeah, we love Jesus. We want to follow him, but there's times when we just really, so we had a good laugh about it, you know, cause you know, we are human, but that insulation, I love that.
Maybe insulation. Maybe that's why the apostles went back to the Lord and said, "How come you don't explain this better to those people sitting out there? And to us, we love you so much, and we just want to be so close to you." And yeah, the other people just weren't ready.
That's it, Dave. And also, I love what you said, Steve, with the God and the love. And what I understand more and more, if you want be stressful and cranked up and remember the lofty sentiments, and then you will have the insulation, as you say, for these situations when they come. And what I learn now is the whole love thing, the inclusiveness of the how deep is your love, that has to do eventually with empathy of the whole thing, like Moses took it up for the people before God, you know, that they're so stupid and they've been isolated for all these years and didn't have no education. I think this is our privilege and challenge to understand, you know, because love eventually becomes understanding. Remember the precedents among you, what, as Jesus said the previous chapter, that we really learn to love how the Lord is busy with us people here, this people project on earth here, to get us exalted. And then we can endure it, you know, and then we won't let our guard down because of the love, you know. If we understand that love is also what you said, I love that, Steve, what you said, analyzing and the whole situatedness. If you can grasp the whole situatedness of yourself, then you can see yourself also in the big picture and understand that you need some time. Or even in your relation, if you can see somebody, like, for example, my wife, when she's hungry, it's easier for me to see it coming than for herself, you know? You think along with the people surrounding you, you know, and analyzing if it's, you know, if it doesn't work or if something happened, analyze it, pray about it, understand it. And if you can understand it a little bit, it's easier to love. But you need the investment of the time and the study of to get the lofty sentiments, because you can't get attitude out of nowhere. You need precepts before. And that's amazing how it keeps repeating all the same things. And the sowing, the reaping, the parables. So what a amazing how we can learn from each other. And because this is the thing, if we can love the people, they will be more interested than if we, yeah.
I would love to hear JT's thoughts on this.
Yeah, JT, we didn't hear you so much. Please.
Well, I'm actually just listening to y'all and letting you guys go, and I'm learning from what you guys are saying. So, if you don't mind, I'll just keep hearing what you guys have to say, and if anything pops up in my head, then I'll cut somebody off, say something.
I hope you do, JT, because you got some fresh ideas that bring about inspiration for those of us. So, I mean, in everybody sharing, then we really get a full bouquet of spirituality. Jim, do you have any thoughts on stuff, Mr. McFarland?
Yeah, I do. From my studies, my understanding is that Satan certainly does not act alone. He has influence on a great number of people, one third of the host of heavens, that were sent here to this planet. You've heard the term prison planet. Well, all those beings around us here on this planet, out of all the places that they could have been sent, they're sent here. And we're outnumbered by thousands, tens of thousands to one. And so it's not Satan acting alone. We have influence everywhere from the other side, negative, evil side. And that's one of the reasons that the noble and great ones were sent here. This is supposedly one of the most evil planets in the whole creation, out of billions and billions of habitable Earths. And I've been studying as late as this morning that there's some very interesting things, and I mentioned my son-in-law, and this is being recorded, so I don't want to mention his name or anything, but there are quasars throughout the universe, and they all have a pole. So there's a universe that spins around, and the quasars have a pole, and those poles of all the quasars are lined up. And this sounds crazy, but I forget the terms, but like we have a north and a south pole, and then we have the equatorial plane, and then we have the plane of that the Earth rotates around the sun. All these quasars have the exact same dimensions and polarities, and the angles are exactly same of the circumference rotating around the sun. I don't understand it as perfectly, but the scientists have looked it up and studied it for many, many years, and they're shocked at what they've found. And all those polarities and planes focus right here on this Earth. This is the center of all that's happening. And that's why Heavenly Father has sent the best and the worst here on this planet to test the best. If you're going to test the best, wouldn't you send them where they have the greatest challenges? And it's just mind-boggling how all these patterns fit together, and how all these other worlds are looking at us and looking at, for example, the Savior didn't go to a whole bunch of planets. He came here, and we were the only planet that was wicked enough to crucify the God, you know, our Savior.
Yeah.
So when we talk about these things, I'm trying to put it in perspective how significant this world is, this Earth. So that's some things that I've learned in my personal studies.
Thanks, James. It's not always a topic you want to think about, but it is important. And I can testify that, yeah, there definitely are. Satan is not working alone. And I witnessed that a lot with my daughter. She often is telling me that there's evil spirits, like almost on a weekly basis. And and so I do my best to calmly, you know, cast them out. And so far it's worked, and I'll wait a few minutes and I ask her, and then she'll say, yeah, they're gone. So we need to understand that we have that power, but we also need to know how great their influence is. And I feel that even though it's been an awful, 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 awful crisis that's happened with my sister-in-law, it is opening my brother's heart and his son's. And so I'm now able to have some more conversations with him about things that matter, you know, the things that really do matter, the sealed book, our hearts, you know, what our purpose is here on this Earth. And so again, I can see where God can take really awful, horrible, frustrating, gut-wrenching situations, and he can turn them into like a good thing. So thank you for that reminder, James. Thank you.
We are really right now, I believe, in a period of time where God is moving people around so that he can have the elect pulled forward to be able to build the strength of what we need to fight Satan. And if someone's in the wrong position, he's going to help change that situation. So yeah, Suzanne, you know, I see how that's going for you guys. James should talk more. He's not even there. He really had a good point about how this world is Satan's world and this fight in front of us.
I think it's really important that we understand that better, that we also were kept for this time that we should be able to withstand evil. You know, that's also hopeful. That helps me also to believe that to be the elect, you know, that you have to be prepared to be able to recognize this. So we did prepare. And that's the voice of his to us, I think, to grow in confidence that we're doing his work and that we're learning together, preparing to laying the foundation on this earth. Yeah, I really enjoyed that comment, James. Thank you. So I will try to speak less next time. I think this was a good moment to round it up, this chapter. Maybe some last thoughts, Steve or JT or other, anyone?
Nope. I'm happy. If we go to 14 and look at that first verse, it transposes beautifully about the gift, the bigger reason for all this, to keep it a secret until the end day so it can't be changed.
That's when the strange plan gets, taught by Jesus. And what an amazing chapter it is. This whole message for, the longest chapter in the Book of Mormon, 77 verses. I always loved it. That's for the next week. It's amazing stuff. Read it, ponder it, pray about it. So thank you, everybody. Jeannie, you can stop the recording and we can have a prayer.
Okay.
Thank you.